Philippians chapter 1, and we'll begin reading tonight at verse 12, and I'll read through verse 20. Now I want you to know, brethren, that my circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel, so that my imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else, and that most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment, have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Some, to be sure, are preaching Christ even from envy and strife, but some also from goodwill. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am appointed for the defense of the gospel. For the former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, thinking to cause me distress in my imprisonment. What then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. So we have seen Paul's prayer in the first 11 verses. We've seen his feelings toward the Philippians, how he has them in his heart. And now it's as if somebody had asked him, "Hey, Paul, how you doing? How you doing?" So he's going to say, and his answer to how he's doing, you say, well, he's in prison in Rome. Yes, he is. But he's rejoicing. That's how he's doing. Why? Because his circumstances have turned out for the greater progress of the gospel. I'm in prison here in Rome. These are greater opportunities for the gospel. So, Paul did not see himself as the victim of circumstances, did he? Paul saw the circumstances as opportunities. Verse 13, that in his imprisonment in the cause of Christ, it's become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. Now, the Praetorian Guard, those were Roman guards assigned to watch Paul. they would have been taking turns probably throughout each day, taking turns actually being chained to Paul. Say, well, we're keeping Paul in chains. Well, Paul doesn't look at it that way, does he? Paul looks at it as, they've got me surrounded, they can't get away. So Paul has Praetorian guards with him all the time. Paul says, you know what? This is an opportunity for me to talk about the gospel. And he had done that. And he says in verse 13, not only to the Praetorian guard, but to everyone else who's around there. Every opportunity he had. So this circumstance, you know, you might say, well, some circumstances are just difficult and disappointing and hard. Okay. And this one was for Paul. But Paul looked at it as an opportunity. So there's a lesson here. Don't look at circumstances as reasons or excuses not to share the gospel with people. Look at the circumstances as opportunities to share the gospel with people. And We may have all had experiences like this, whether it's, you know, your vehicle breaks down or you get a flat tire or something. Do you realize those who come to help you, whether it's the tow truck coming or somebody to help change a tire or whatever, those are opportunities for the gospel. I've known people who have said, well, I want to share the gospel with my doctor, but I don't because every time I go to the doctor, I'm sick. Okay, but that is an opportunity. That's not a reason not to. So Paul uses this as an opportunity. Now, Paul is glad for that opportunity, but he's also glad because something else is happening. Verse 14, most of the brethren, so he's talking about saved people in the churches all around, churches that he has planted all around. Most of the brethren, trusting in the Lord because of my imprisonment. In other words, they're not now looking to Paul to preach the gospel where they are. Why? Well, Paul's locked up in Rome, so he can't be in the other places. So who's going to preach the gospel in the other places? Well, they have to do it. And Paul says in verse 14, they've been doing it. They have far more courage to speak the word of God without fear. Apparently, they say, the worst that could happen to me is I end up in prison like Paul. So they had courage to speak the gospel. Now in verse 15, 16, and 17, Paul is pointing out that there are those who preach the gospel, and they really are preaching the gospel, but they're doing it from wrong motives. Verse 15 says, from envy and strife. Verse 17 says, those, the former, with wrong motives, are doing it out of selfish ambition rather than from pure motives, apparently thinking that they're going to cause Paul some distress in his imprisonment, that they're doing it out of envy and strife would seem to be saying their motive is maybe if we preach the gospel, Paul will realize we're taking over now and we don't need Paul anymore. You know what Paul says? That's okay. That's okay. Now there are others who are preaching the gospel from goodwill, the end of verse 15 says. They're doing it out of love, verse 16 says. And they're doing it knowing that Paul is appointed for the defense of the gospel. Paul isn't about defending himself and his own position and his own reputation. Paul is about defending the gospel. So this is the situation. Verse 18, Paul says, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or as truth, Christ is proclaimed, and in this I rejoice, yes, and I will rejoice. Now, Paul is not, in verse 18, authorizing different gospels or saying it's okay if people muddy up the gospel and make it unclear, and if they do that, I'll still rejoice in it. That's not what Paul's saying. Paul is saying, I rejoice when the gospel is preached, when Christ is proclaimed. So, the gospel, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the ascension of Jesus, and all that that accomplished, and that that must be received by believing. Okay? Paul doesn't rejoice when people say, well, here's the gospel. Pray this prayer and ask Jesus to come into your life. You know what? Paul doesn't rejoice in that because he realized that's not the gospel. Pray this prayer and ask Jesus to come into your heart. Paul doesn't rejoice in that. That's not the gospel. Well, make this commitment and give your life to Christ. Paul doesn't rejoice in that. That's not the gospel. See, well, I gave my life to Christ. You know what? Jesus didn't want it. Jesus doesn't want your life. He wants you to have his life. Because your life is nothing but sin before you're saved. Going to give that to Christ? Well, Jesus already took your sin on himself on the cross. He doesn't need you to give it to him. You know? So, Paul is not rejoicing in false or unclear or butchered presentations of the gospel. But he is rejoicing when the gospel's preached, even if the people who are preaching it have wrong motives. Say, well, I'll preach the gospel and people will get saved and I'll get a following. Paul says, okay, that's good. I rejoice in that. So there's a great lesson here. There are probably more preachers around, and a lot of them are on the internet and on the radio and television and all of this. Do they have good motives? Well, there may be some who do. And there may be some, and you get this idea, because at the end of every presentation, it says, and make sure you send us your money, right? They have a different motive. Say, well, they have wrong motives. Paul would ask, okay, but are they really presenting the gospel? Presenting it accurately and clearly. Okay, if they are, even if their motives are wrong, Paul says, I rejoice in that. So we ought to rejoice when the gospel is preached, even if it's preached by some of the people that we think are the wrong people. At times. Okay, any thoughts or questions about verses 12 through 18 so far? Well, apparently the answer to that question is yes, it's possible. I only say that because I've seen it happen. You know, I've seen when unsaved people, I'll give you an example. I had a professor when I was in college. He was an English literature professor. I mean, this guy was definitely unsaved. By his own admission. And he had some really strange ideas. He was a graduate of Princeton in New Jersey and was into all kinds of weird literature and all this. Anyway, I had met with him a number of times and presented the gospel to him and explained it. And, you know, he said, yeah, I understand that's what it is. I understand that's what it says. And I understand that's what I need to do to be saved. But he said, I don't want to. Wasn't interested, but he had heard it. Well, he was giving a lecture at, it was kind of an assembly at the college. And in this lecture, he actually presented the gospel very clearly. He presented it the way I told it to him. He presented it very clearly. And he even said, this is what the Bible says that people need to do to be saved and have eternal life. And this guy was still unsaved. But you know what? There was a handful of people who attended that lecture, students who attended that lecture, who got saved by hearing this guy present the gospel, even though he didn't believe it. And to my knowledge, that man, I haven't seen him now probably in, you know, 40 or more years since I've seen him. So I don't even know if he's still living, but to my knowledge, he never did get saved. He never did. But the Lord used him so that other people would get saved. So can that happen? Yeah. Now, you know, what were his motives in doing it? I mean, he was trying to show off, is what he was trying to do. But, so it can happen. Ultimately, you know, once you have presented the gospel to them, and like in this case, he clearly understood it and what it was, but he didn't believe it, didn't want to believe it. And after that, and by the way, I went to him after that lecture, and I said to him, I said, do you know that God used you when you were speaking there? He said, no, he didn't. I mean, he wasn't even sure that God existed. You know, no, he didn't. God didn't use me. I said, yes, he did. He said, there were people who heard what you said and believed it and got saved because of what you said. He said, well, I wasn't trying to do that, you know. I said, I know that. And the thing is, you can't do that. You can't persuade anybody, even if you try. That has to be the work of the Holy Spirit. So, you know, I told him about that, and I would remind him again and again, you know, to say, I'm praying for you. I want to see you come to the point where you believe this and trust Jesus for your salvation. To my knowledge, he never did. But that's all I could do. That's all anybody could do. And then the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and implants it in that person, in the soil of their spirit. And if that happens, they become regenerated, born again, and they end up believing. But unless the Spirit of God does that, they won't be saved. So, yeah, that's an interesting question. Any other questions or comments? Have you had experiences where you might have considered it a negative or unfortunate circumstance that turned out to be an opportunity for the gospel? Or maybe you missed it. Okay, so Paul's rejoicing, now verses 19 and 20. Verse 19 begins with the word for, and he's explaining why he's rejoicing. He's rejoicing that Christ is being proclaimed, that the gospel is being preached. But he's rejoicing because, verse 19, I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. Saying, I'm not worried at all about whether somebody somewhere else is going to replace me. He said, I know I'm going to get out of this prison. He did, by the way. It'll turn out for my deliverance through your prayers. He says, you know, I know I'm going to get out of this Roman prison because the Philippians are praying for me. That's a good thing to know. Through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is at work. It's the Spirit of Jesus. Paul says, He will bring about my deliverance. He says, so I'm not worried about anybody replacing me. So I'm glad if people want to start more churches and preach the gospel more. And Paul says, I'm happy about that. Continuing in verse 20, according to my earnest expectation and hope. So it says, I'm earnestly expecting. I have hope that I will be delivered from this prison. That I will not be put to shame in anything, but that with all boldness Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body. After you're saved, what is the purpose of your physical body? The purpose of your physical body is to exalt Jesus. If you're not exalting Jesus in your physical body, then you might as well not have it. Christ will even now as always be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. I'm going to be released from this prison. Paul says, I'm earnestly expecting and hopeful that I'll be released from this prison before I die. And then I'll keep on exalting Christ and preaching the gospel and whatever, and those other people are envious of me, that's their problem. But this Paul knows. I'm going to get out of this prison. I'm hoping it's going to be while I'm still living. But you know what? It could be by death. The end of verse 20. And if he dies, he's still out of that prison, isn't he? So he's rejoicing in all of this. That is what Paul is all about. Chapter 1, verse 7 said, the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Verse 16 said, Paul is appointed for the defense of the gospel. He's all about the gospel, which again and again Paul calls the gospel of the grace of God. No. Hey, I've heard people say they're preaching the gospel and then they preach works salvation. That's not the gospel, is it? Not everybody who says they're preaching the gospel is preaching the gospel. But those who are preaching the gospel, Paul rejoices in them, and Paul is committed that he will continue in that. And Jesus is the one who will be exalted. It's not about Paul. It's not about these other people. It's about Christ and Christ being exalted. Heavenly Father, take and use of this tonight that we might be aware and alert to every opportunity that we have. Sometimes even hard and difficult circumstances are really open doors. So Lord, cause us to be aware and cause us to have that priority to be set for the defense and confirmation of the gospel. That Jesus, you may be exalted always because it's your good news. It's your gospel. And so we pray in Jesus' name.